In the summer of 2012, a woman named Ava was found dead in the London townhouse she shared with her husband, Hans. The couple had struggled with drug addiction for years under the glare of tabloid headlines. Now writing with clarity and restraint, Hans's sister, the editor and publisher Sigrid Rausing, tries to make sense of what happens. The result is the book Mayhem, a memoir about the impact of addiction on a family. Sigrid Rausing is the editor of Granta magazine and the publisher of Granta Books. Again, the name of the memoir is Mayhem, and we welcome Sigrid Rausing to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, this is a very tragic story and a very personal story. What led you to want to share it?
Well, I mean, every addiction story is a tragic story, and I see so many cases where people who are family members, that is, who are battling with addiction in their families, are not able to have a voice. And really what I wanted to do was to reach out to other family members and to describe our story and hopefully get a response from other people who are struggling with the same issues.
The book is an account of your brother's descent into addiction,
mm-hmm.
your sister-in-law's untimely death.
Mm-hmm.
How far away did you have to get from it to write about it and to investigate it and to understand it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is that, but it's also about my own depression. So in a sense, it's about this twin story between me and my brother. His addiction, my depression. I really started writing in 2012 when Eva, my sister-in-law, died. My brother, who was very deep in his own addiction, couldn't face the fact that she had died, and so he covered up her body. And when she was found 2 months later, there was a tremendous, it was a great shock and grief, and it became also a big tabloid story. So in the beginning, I was just writing some short fragments to myself to begin to make sense of this incredibly shocking and tragic event.
And is it to deal with the situation, but is it also to chronicle what is happening at the very moment for you? Or even therapeutic in a way?
Well, I've had a lot of therapy in my life, and I think what I was trying to do is find a language to describe something that is so shocking and tragic and sad that it almost knocks you over. So all of that is happening in the setting of the private family. But in our case, of course, also the newspapers and the tabloids in particular kind of owned the story, and there was so much being written about us and about what had happened, that the book is also an attempt to take something back, to reclaim a little bit of that narrative, and to begin to put forward, my or our account of what happened.
You write in the book, who can help the addict consumed by a shaming hunger, a need beyond control? There is no medicine. The drugs are the medicine. And who
yeah.
can help their families so implicated in the self-destruction of the addict? When did you start to feel the impact on you?
Well, I was very deeply involved in my brother's addiction when we were in our 20s, and he came to live with me coming out of a rehab. He came to live with me in my flat in London. And he immediately relapsed. But of course, I had no idea. I didn't know anything about drugs. So then he ended up going to rehab again several months later. And I used to go with my mother to the Sunday meetings at the rehab. As he got better, I got progressively more depressed, which is a very common story with addiction. You kind of hold on, because there were several months when he disappeared. And so I was holding on. And when the addict is relatively safe, family members can can feel begin to feel their own depression.
Mm.
And I then ended up going to the same rehab as a family member after he'd left. And so I got to know the world of rehabs very well, I would say.
At the time of Ava's death and the struggle that they had with drug addiction, we should note that you're also dealing with a very public aspect of this. It becomes headline fodder.
Mm-hmm.
You are the editor of Granta Magazine and the mm-hmm. publisher of Granta Books. So there is that as well, where you're doing this in a swirl where people are watching,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure only intensifies the pressure that all of you are feeling in that case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very true. And writing, I think, was a way of protecting myself from that scrutiny in a way, because, you know, writing is such a very intensely private activity. And I was genuinely trying to make sense of and understand what had happened, because in the beginning we didn't know anything. And so I was puzzling together the timeline, and I was kind of gripped by this intense need to know. You know, I really needed to know what it was, you know, what had happened. Where was he? Where was she? You know, what was going on? And so I did a lot of research for the book, most of which didn't end up in the book. But nevertheless, it was good to have done.
Because it enhances your understanding.
It was good to have done the book because it enhanced my understanding, but also it was good, I think. No, go ahead.
I meant the research specifically, yes.
Oh, the research. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Hmm. The idea of the depression that you go through in this, how tied to that is guilt? I mean, you are through the story, you are working with these individuals.
Yeah.
But guilt is inevitable, isn't it?
Well, some of the reviewers have called the book self-flagellating, and, you know, the point of view is, how can you feel guilty? You know, obviously you did what you had to do. Why guilt? I think everybody who's dealt with an addiction story understands that guilt and shame are absolutely key components of any addiction in any family. You know, it's a very, very secretive condition. And so if you're a family member, if you're an older sister, if this is your younger brother, if you're engaged in a court case to take the children from two parents who very much love their children but who are not able to look after them, if you end up looking after those four children, you take them from their home and you do your best, but nevertheless, you've taken them from your home, you know, anybody would feel guilt. Guilt is part of it.
You write about midway in the book, addiction is partly a learned behavior, I say to the children. You
yes.
learn to become an addict. And you did, right? You learned that, and yet I assume now you're hypersensitive and aware. It forever changes you, correct?
Well, I was never an addict, just to be clear.
Well, no, no, but you meaning, and I'm sorry to give that impression, but meaning that you learn of what it is to become that. You learn
yes.
how that happens, and ultimately
yes.
you become hypersensitive. I assume you become hypersensitive to say, I am not going to allow this to happen to me.
Yes, though I would say I didn't quite mean it in that way in the book. I trained as an anthropologist. And so parts of this book are quite anthropological. And what I really meant is that addiction is a kind of culture. And you learn how to behave and act and deal in that culture. And so you learn how to keep safe and where to buy your drugs and how to be. And, you know, it's a way of life as much as it is an illness. And so that's really what I meant. And it's associated with certain music and, you know, and I was just trying to give the children a kind of understanding of my take of this, which is also that, you know, there is definitely a genetic component to this, but it is also a way of life, you know. And it is also a way of dealing with and covering up very painful and difficult emotions. So it's all those things at once, and it's a complicated thing to explain to children, but I think those are important conversations to have.
And you go, understandably and rightfully, go to great pains to protect those children, but there are four children that Hans and Eva had, so that is that's a lot to deal with as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what do you hope people get out of the story, that the takeaway for us to be?
I think, you know, I feel this tremendous sense of solidarity with other people who have addicts in the family. And so I've already heard from so many people who've read a book or read it in galleys who, you know, have family members who are addicted and who feel very desperate, because the truth is very often there are no good choices. You know, and you have to detach, and you know you have to detach because you can't control addiction. And if you become over-involved in it, then you end up being codependent, and, you know, your whole life can get taken over. But the thing is, if there are children involved, then you can't walk away from the children.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there are no good, clear answers and no good, clear outcomes.
The name of the book is Mayhem, a Memoir. Yes. It is published by Knopf. Sigrid Rousing, I thank you very much for spending time with us and joining us. A great pleasure.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for sharing. Again, the name of the memoir is Mayhem. It is published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.